But
Eagle Eye was a cool movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
You never saw all of that.
Well, but I mean, what I saw.
We should say the reason you didn't see all of it because you weren't feeling well.
Do we have to?
Not that you didn't like it it's just the fact that it's like you had good reason.
I just got sick towards the end of the movie. I had to leave the theater.
Right.
I didn't want to.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
You're
so literal, Brian.
Huh?
You have to be so literal. There is such a thing as being literal versus what's anecdotal. You know what I'm saying? Brian, or Dave, back me up. There's being literal and there's being anecdotal. Back to the movie.
Okay, yeah, back to the movie. Oxley, played by John Hurt, who...
Aliens.
Alien, the first alien, who...
He's the guy that had the...
Yeah, the alien, chest burst.
And he was the wand salesman in Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He was Ollivander in Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been in so many other movies, too. It's not even funny. But, I mean, to the geeks, that's what he's best known for. This is a really good sequence.
I'm loving the whole movie up to this point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I am, too. I mean, yeah.
It was pretty much, I think, like the third or second to last viewing I had of this when I finally figured out where exactly the urgency lied in the story.
Yeah.
That I finally got into this movie almost 100%.
But I will say that the movie almost seems to slow down a couple of places a little bit too much. I don't quite feel like you're saying about sort of the sense of urgency, at least in comparison to the third one or the first one or whatnot. You know, I'm just not quite. And maybe it's just them.
You know who one of these guys is? Ernie Race Jr. One of these guys that are like running around trying to get these guys.
Okay.
He was Donatello on Ninja Turtles.
Really?
He was the kid in Ninja Turtles too. He was like the kid who worked with the turtles in Ninja Turtles too.
Wow.
That's a hardcore bit of geek trivia.
I thought Dave would at least know that. I knew Dave was a Ninja Turtle fan, Shia LaBeouf, who I thought was hands down the best part of Transformers. Don't get me started on my hate of that movie. Like, there's just so many things
You were the one who brought it up.
I know. But that was probably what made me, really.
Okay, so let's just say Transformers. Ron hates it. I kind of like it.
The only decent part of that movie, that entire movie, was Shia LaBeouf and the special effects. Like, I almost kind of saved that movie in some way. That was,
That was brutal.
Everybody in the theater really liked that part.
Yeah.
We actually
got Mike to see that.
We got Mike to go to the midnight showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I part time.
I like the timing on that exchange better in the trailer.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Lion Ring by Indy was better in the trailer, too. They used a different take.
Yeah.
But,
it was perfect for the trailer.
Yeah.
It was just
kind of a little too cheesy in the... Let's face it, your hair is not going to be done any favors at this place. But...
See, I don't know if I quite buy Shia LaBeouf as, like, 50s greaser kid, but, what are you going to do?
I mean, he's got... I think the main reason they went that direction was just, it's like...
Because...
The whole Rebel Without a Cause, 50s, rebelling against,
authority.
Their parents and stuff like that. And I think that's the main reason they went that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg. Well, ultimately, it's just not important to the story. That's true.
Exactly. I mean, that's a big part of it.
But
It's like Indy's relationship with his dad was totally inherent to the story of The Last Crusade.
Well, it was also established really well in, you know, the prologue, too, where, like, I mean, you didn't even really see, you know, Sean Connery's character.
But, I think Spielberg just really wanted to work with Shia LaBeouf, or, you know, on Public.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I think your man crush to Shia LaBeouf is sort of, like, doubled by Spielberg.
Yeah.
Worked with him in, like, every major project he'd worked on.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, yeah.
Because, I mean, DreamWorks produced Disturbia and Eagle Eye and, you know...
Transformers.
Spielberg produced Transformers, so...
See, all the exchanges here between them, to me, are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't see why you have such a problem with that earlier scene.
Yeah, I did that earlier.
Yeah,
I don't know why you. I really don't understand.
It did not work. Maybe it was the scenery in combination with it. It just did not work for me. It it wasn't just quite them. I mean, when they said Peru, I just didn't. It just didn't flow as to why they needed to go there. I mean, I understand why they needed to go there, but it just all didn't click for me.
Huh.
At least not the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, I like the fact that it's not another religious artifact.
Yeah.
I would like to, you know, that's the thing.
Well, I mean,
I don't think
because of the fact that it was the Nazis and, you know, the first and third ones, that it sort of made sense to have it serve as a religious artifact. But, I mean, it just wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah. Also, you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm happy to see Andy going on another, you know, kind of goofy adventure, kind of like, you know, Temple of Doom was.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't need to see a fifth movie.
No, I don't either.
But if there were to be another movie, I'd like it to be a more, you know, kind of ridiculous kind of premise like Temple of Doom or Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Because I just...
No, I kind of hope, you know, it's like they just know when to say when here, and, like, the fourth one is it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, you know, we can debate, like, until the cows come home, how relevant, you know, the need to do a fourth one was. I mean, Last Crusade ended perfectly.
Yeah.
For a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Ended perfectly for a trilogy. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I think because of the thematic ground they hit on this, the idea of an aging indie was just so perfect to do sort of like a swan song for the character.
Yeah.
And
you know, we've seen a lot of those in recent years, you know, with Rocky VI, Rambo IV.
Right.
I know.
Although they are talking about Rambo V. He's doing a Rambo V, which
is
completely unnecessary.
Rambo IV wasn't all that great. So.
No.
I like Rocky VI.
Rocky VI was really good.
I mean, we're just referencing Sylvester Stallone movies right now.
But
have there been any other movies like this?
Live Free and Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
The other big one.
Yeah.
Recently, which that was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly made up for Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I like Die Hard with a Vengeance.
But
I know you don't. But.
No. No. But anyway.
That's what's great about Harrison Ford is, like, you know, he makes whatever his age may be at the time, you know, part of his character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know...
And I mean, more than those actors, more than even Bruce Willis, I mean, he's just very much an everyman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just very much an everyman as far as action heroes go.
But you know, it's like
you can identify with him.
But, like, you know, it's what's great is, like, you know, what Air Force One was just a perfect vehicle for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like, if Harrison Ford was going to be an action hero at that age, I think he did Air Force One was like in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
You know, and if Harrison Ford is going to be an action hero in his mid-50s,
and I mean, the Jack Ryan movies he did, too. I mean, Patriot Games and Clear and Present Day.
Or if Harrison Ford was going to be an action hero at the age he did Fugitive, it's like Ryan Kimball was a perfect character for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But,
Oh, yeah, I mean, no, I mean, the action-adventure movies that he's chosen in his advanced age since Indiana Jones have been really good. I mean, you know, The Fugitive, obviously, the Jack Ryan movie, Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, he's tried to
what
do...
What was that one movie you like, Hollywood Homicide?
I mean,
you like that one,
I thought it was all right.
I didn't really like that.
At first, but it's like, you know, I haven't seen it since. I mean, I don't feel the need to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, but,
So, okay. Oxley found the skull in this crypt.
Right.
The skull told Oxley to tell skull told Oxley to take it to Akator.
Yes.
He got to Akator, but only made it so far. And then he decided to bring it back.
Right.
That's just a lot to think about, I think.
Maybe it's a little convoluted for
me. It is! Really convoluted, I think.
Whereas in Temple of Doom, all of that stuff is not convoluted.
But that's the thing, though. It's established so much better in Temple of Doom. It's established a lot better in Temple of Doom, I think.
It still doesn't necessarily make any more sense.
But I just believe it more. I understand, you know, I love Temple of Doom.
I'll agree. This is a bit convoluted. I mean, it is a bit convoluted for an indie movie. I'll agree with you.
Thank you. That's
I'll
what
agree
I'm trying
with
to get
there.
That's the thing. I'm not saying that Temple of Doom isn't, you know, I mean, that's a big part of Temple of Doom's charm is how, absurd it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why a lot of fanboys love it the most, you know. I mean,
uh-huh.
Everyone obviously acknowledges, you know, Raiders as the best of the series, but I think a lot of fanboys like Temple of Doom for its absurdity.
I've always gotten the impression that a lot of people just don't really care for Temple of Doom.
Yeah, but thinking about it, the whole convolution of this and him putting the skull back, I think that might have, you know, because when you look at some of the other movies, it's like, it's especially the third one, you know, it's like, yeah, get the cup, but you don't really want the cup, because, you know, that you can't take it past the seal, and, you know, the greed and all that, so you know, it's like, the arc, you want the arc, but you really don't, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of that same concept, probably not as well done here.
So, in a way, this is kind of sort of par for the course for Andy.
Right.
Where it's like, you want
it.
This, but... You
but,
don't
but,
want
yeah,
but
there
are consequences
you get
for wanting.
Yeah, once you get it,
But it's been done better in previous indie movies. That's
no, you're right. That's you're right. Thing, yeah. You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Can we get that on tape? Brian saying I'm absolutely right. Is that on tape?
Yes.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Recorded.
Okay, good.
Probably the only time it'll ever happen, but hey, you know what? That's why we're keeping this, for posterity's sake. But,
The Ruskies.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
wow.
There.
They do the,
Well, I'm like, okay, why can't they just... What's the importance of getting the alien at the very beginning of the movie? I mean, like, what's the importance of the Russians going after the skull that was in the crypt if they have the alien that they got at the beginning of the movie? What is the significance of that?
Well, they need the skull in order to...
I know, but why did they go after the alien at the beginning of the movie? That's what I'm... Because, like, I mean, why did they... And you know, if they had the alien that they got at the beginning of the movie, why'd they go after the skull that was in the crypt? I'm just... Anyway. Stew over that for a little bit.
Maybe that.
Why?
Okay. Here's how I see it. Well, they need this skull in order to get the knowledge from
the temple at the end of the movie.
Yes. Nobody needs a skull. All right.
The alien.
We're just living for the alien.
Because of the fact that she basically can read minds.
Yeah, she's a psychic.
She's a psychic. And so, and since the skull had such a psychic experience, had such a psychic hold on Oxley,
mm-hmm.
they're obviously after whatever will give them greater power in order to... That's part of their plan here, is to, in order to, you know, make more people like Kate Blanchett's character that can basically, you know, basically they're looking to end the Cold War, like the Nazis tried to, you know, hunting, were looking to conquer the world
with religious artifacts.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Was that apparent to you, Dave? When you first saw this? Okay. Okay. But, I thought the midnight showing was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. I mean, yeah, it was, we went to, what, 3 midnight showings this year?
Yep. Yeah.
Iron Man, this, and Dark Knight.
Yep. This was just a great summer.
Yeah, it was.
It was just one of the best summers in recent memory.
Yeah, the movies. Yeah.
We had Speed Racer, which was my favorite movie this past summer.
Speed Racer, The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Wall-E. Hellboy.
Iron Man.
Iron Man, Tropic Thunder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that the aliens are a part of the story, but they're kind of not. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like they're not as prominent an aspect of the story as maybe, say, in War of the Worlds, I guess. Like, they're not, you know,
War of the World is about an alien invasion.
Yeah.
So it might have to be an important part of the story.
And I mean, you know, it would have sucked if this was like a true, like, alien movie.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If this had been another War of the Worlds, it would have been, like, completely stupid.
Yeah.
And it would have completely gone against the idea of an indie.
This is aliens in an Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
That's the thing. That's what was important. I didn't care whether or not they were aliens as long as they did aliens in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yes. Which they do quite well.
Yes. This is really funny.
Yeah.
Like, we're never this interesting. Chicago, Illinois, where Harrison Ford grew up. Because he went to high school with my mom. My mom was showing me his high school yearbook picture just before I came over here.
Really?
Yeah.
You went all out in preparing for this commentary, didn't
you? I love how there are little aspects of Chicago and like all of Harrison Ford's characters, like, you know, Richard Kimball is from Chicago.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones with the University of Chicago. Then supposedly Harrison Ford has a story for how every one of his characters had got that scar on his chin.
Oh, really?
I mean, we see how
he got it in Last Crusade.
We see how Indy got it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, Harrison Ford supposedly has a
he
story.
He sort of comes up with his own little backstory for each character.
Exactly, on how that character got
it. Even if you don't see it in
that. Yeah.
It's one of those little actor things.
I guess so.
So, did you guys figure out anything like that for your characters on Wimble Hand?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay. I guess I didn't necessarily require that for homework, did I?
No.
I guess you're not exactly creative enough to come up with that on your own, or you just don't care enough.
Plus, you're just not paying us enough. So, you know, maybe if you paid us well, if you paid us at all.
Yeah. If I could pay you guys at all, would we be doing this at my parents' house?
No, we wouldn't. You know, we support your art, Brian. We're just giving you a hard time.
I know.
I like the sound effects for the skull.
Yes, I do too.
I like the theme for the skull. That's about the only new theme that I do like. Mutt's theme is not Indiana Jones at all. Like, the theme for the Crystal Skull is totally Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
But if you ever listen to Mutt's theme, it's kind of like...
Yeah.
It's like John Williams is kind of throwing it home. It's like...
I wouldn't go that far.
I kind of feel that way, though. That's the thing.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, again, listen to the soundtrack when you get on Christmas. And,
yeah.
You know. And as Cate Blanchett's theme is really...
I do like Cate Blanchett.
Hers, which I can't remember her character's name, because otherwise I'd be saying...
But like, I like how John Wayne's kind of played as kind of like a femme fatale kind of character. The fact of the matter is, Mutt was a character I was really looking forward to enjoying in this movie, but I can't really get into his theme so much. But, and, you know, that's the thing, Brian, I think you know that I listen to film music about as intuitively as you do. I think.
Yeah.
You're trained in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, but...
No, I'm with you. I agree with that.
But, I'm probably just as big of a fan of film music as you are.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was like one of the first things you and I ever bonded over, really.
Yeah. Certainly wasn't our shared appreciation for Spider-Man.
No.
We went on for phone calls and phone calls.
You know, how many years later are we still going on about Spider-Man? We're talking about freaking Indiana Jones.
I know.
We're still going on about Spider-Man. However, Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock, was in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, that was his first film.
Yes. So,
and,
I guess there really was a method to our madness.
Yes. That's,
but not really.
That was entirely
intentional. That was totally planned. Oh, my gosh.
Intentional on our part.
We totally threw everyone off with that.
Karen Allen as Marion Ravenwood.
It was really neat to see that little bit of that little video from Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
It was first with Spielberg, and then it was Spielberg and Harrison Ford, and then it was Ray Winstone and Shia LaBeouf, and then at the very...
Karen Allen.
Then they bring Karen Allen out, and I was like, oh, yes, that's awesome.
She's really good in this. I mean, it's like no time has passed whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. It's like David Kapp is channeling
Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, like, that's the thing. I mean, you can't get any closer to a perfect script than you can Raiders or Empire Strikes Back. With Lawrence Kasdan did with those two movies, you know, Raiders in particular.
Yeah.
Nothing gets close to the perfection, I think. In terms of the
I don't think Lawrence Kasdan has ever won an Oscar for Ryan either, which is such a tragedy, especially, I mean, forget about these films. I mean, just the movies he's written and directed, too. Raiders and Empire, of course, are like two of his most acclaimed ones, which...
Yeah.
Like
well, they're two of his most popular.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But,
never getting to a kind of, a, I don't know, like the quicksand.
There are some funny aspects to it. I mean, there are some funny exchanges.
The part of the quicksand is pretty funny. It was like, after that, the movie kind of started, gets way too goofy, I think. I mean,
yeah,
like, you know,
to a certain extent.
Like,
yeah,
like the jungle chase. I mean, the ants are cool.
The ants are cool.
But, you know, beyond that, and then you get to the waterfall, and it's just like, oh, my.
Well, the waterfall is, you know, where it sort of jumps the shark to a certain things that were like, okay, why did we need to see this?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hey, the... Cars just happens to be able to float.
I accept. Well, I mean, there are such things as cars that can do that.
But
Bill.
At first, I thought they put a lot of makeup on her or whatnot. age.
Karen Allen, yeah.
But she, you know what, she's too good.
No.
No.
That's just kind of
weird. Well, that's the thing, she looks like a woman of her age. I mean, I think she's in her early 50s.
Sounds about right.
I think.
Probably sounds about right. Harrison's in his, mid-60s, yeah.
Yeah.
I just love the Indiana Jones talking to himself, figuring out puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, that's done so well. You know, just
well, I mean, that's completely Harrison Ford,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Where it's like,
you know, and I mean, you see his sense of humor in the way that he kind of delivers bland or flat lines and stuff like that, and
there's that one
kind of all comes together.
Yeah.
Like, when he does that puzzle.
Well, there's that one line in Last Crusade where it's like, everybody's lost but me. Or, I mean, that's just classic indie.
Yeah.
That's River Phoenix delivering that line, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, crap.
But it is totally Indiana Jones.
Right, yeah. I mean,
completely
true to character.
Yeah. It's a combination of writing and delivery.
Yeah. Oh, there's the This Is Intolerable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think once Karen Allen gets into the loop of gets into this little
the whole thing between
Indian and Mutt.
Yeah, really, that's when it really starts to click. When it sort of becomes a familial thing.
Yeah.
Like, when you get the revelation that it's like, he's in fact Indy's son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the character, the name of Mutt is sort of a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just...
I do like how he finds out.
Yeah.
Good name. Well, see, I like how they hide the fact that it's a snake until
Indy comes along, until it's Indy's turn.
He's got to reference snake somehow.
Yeah.
I more or less believe this part.
I just think it's amusing because of the whole snake thing.
This is Sears and Roebuck around here?
There is no box.
I do like how you see in Last Crusade how he gets his fear of snake.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like at the very beginning, it's like, it's only a snake. And then,
yeah.
And like 10 minutes later,
he's covered him.
Help.
Oh, John Hurt was also in Contact. Forgot about that.
The thing that cuts down the trees is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good good nod to the destruction that's about to come.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start.
I mean, I think the important thing is that we believe this is Indy and Marion, you know.
Yeah.
Late, you know, 20, 30 some odd years later.
Yeah.
And that was the important thing. I think we all, you and I particularly discussed that. It was like,
yeah.
The idea, you know, that was what was going to make or break the movie for us, was whether or not you believed Indy, you know,
yeah.
Indiana Jones, you know, in his 60s. And that was the great thing about Rocky Balboa is like you totally believe it, you know, Rocky.
Oh
totally,
yeah.
Totally believe the idea of Rocky in his 60s.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Let's not let the kids see mom and dad fight.
Like no time has ever gone by.
Exactly. Oh, you ripped the jacket. What now? At the moment, yeah. I mean, this would be a great time for you to chime in if you had anything to say. Your favorite part of the movie is about to start.
I'm just waiting for you to say something. You're the leader.
Long.
I like that little shirt.
Yeah, I do.
So, you know, plus, you get to hear the love thing.
And you just see her, like, swooning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, aww. So sweet. He's such a dick, but he's so sweet. Yeah, this is definitely not the truck chase from Raiders.
I like how it begins.
Yeah, I do too.
Thanks for the exposition, Indy. Just in case anyone wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom's an action hero.
Is that Bazooka? That's actually from Dark Knight, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And example number one, that he doesn't really plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't they just kind of like, I don't know, I guess they have to get the skull, they have to get Osprey.
He just explained it.
Yeah.
Just explain it in your favorite bit of exposition.
Yeah, you just repeated it. You just said why he explained it. Did you like Kate Blanchett's accent?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it was. You know,
for me, there were some places where it was fine, and
there's other places. I didn't think about it because it was like Kate Blanchett, so I knew she was kind of like phoning this in a little bit.
The fact of the matter is, it's like the whole idea of these are basically caricatures of Cold War Russians anyway.
Love her delivery that's coming up later on when she's about to try and drive him over the cliff.
Mm.
It's like. I mean, that's one of those lines where you're like, you feel like you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
Now nobody gets hit here. I just...
Well, I mean, that's just complete movie logic. It's the bad guys can't hit anything, but the good guys hit everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing in Star Wars, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he's gonna get a sword, Dave! He's gonna get a sword!
Awesome.
Yeah!
Awesome. Why do they have swords anyway?
because Kate Blanchett's character's into that sort of thing.
Okay.
She has
that's the old school military thing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Marines have swords today.
Oh, yeah. Are they trained?
I don't
know. Everybody now. Dun 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 dun.
Oh, wait, we're not going to get sued for that, are we?
Sorry. I mean, for all, you know, because I'm sure, like, you know, Spielberg goes, or John Williams goes online every day and, like,
you never know.
I just had to, like, because I love the use of the theme.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever it's used in an action sequence in an indie movie, I love
the use of that. Well, it's a complete Heroes theme, too.
Yeah.
Still not the sweetest chase action sequence.
Well, no.
I learned the Last Crusade tackling.
Oh, no. Not in the least. I mean, you can't touch that one or the one at Raiders. I mean, yeah.
Or the minecart chase.
No, the minecart is good.
Minecart chase is awesome.
Yeah. Did he go to boarding school before he took fencing or something?
Well,
he
talked
like
about
that?
Going to all those schools.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure, you know. I think part of my problem with this part is much seen. It doesn't belong in Indiana Jones movie. It maybe belongs in Hook more than it does, you know, in this movie. I think it's kind of like...
Okay, this goes well past the realm of believability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with all that stuff being, you know, and the fact that you can still straddle that.
Well, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier, you know, but movie logic versus, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, that's the thing. There's movie logic, and then there's
indie movie logic.
I mean, it's like it's all about, you know, your ability or your lack of ability to, you know, extend the audience's disbelief.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
you can believe.
And they go a little overboard in a couple of sequences.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, yeah, but. I mean, you can have the most absurd situation in a movie and totally believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the first three indie movies are, you know, total.
Oh, yeah.
And to a degree, this one as well. But, you know, again.
I think to a larger degree, this one as well, but. Yeah, that's.
I still believe a pretty good heap of it.
I mean, I do too.
But, yeah, I mean, like, this whole chase, you know, just doesn't have the caliber of, like, any of the action sequences of the first three movies. I mean, it's like that. That's why I love Temple of Doom, because it's the most absurd next to this one, I think. But you know, I believe every moment of it.
Yeah.